Eric Anderson here again, and we are in the third T in the three-step formula. So first we talked about the first T was tapping into your passion, okay? If you follow the exercises, if you've gone through the first audio, you have now tapped into your passion and have a pretty flexible idea, and we keyword it, remember the principle of flexibility, but you have a good idea of exactly what you want to do. You understand it's profitable, there's other people that are benefiting from it, and you can also benefit from it, okay? So that's the first T, tapping into your passion. The second T is translating your passion. So if you've listened and followed the exercise on the second CD, you now know how to translate, you've translated your passion into a product or service that you could benefit from. Equally important, that benefits other people. So you've attached it to a cause, you've attached it to your backstory, you've tied it into something that is personal, meaningful, has a connection with you that benefits other people. Now the third and final T in this particular process is probably my favorite, and that's tying it all together, okay? Tying it all together, tying it in with the marketing, everything that's going to allow you to profit from your passion while helping other people and sharing your unique message with the world. The reason this topic is so, so important, and probably, to be quite honest, the most important of the three, because if there's nobody to raise their hand and say, hey, look, I'm interested in what you have to offer. Hey, look, this is great what you're doing. I want to know more, which comes to marketing, right? You have no business. You have no passionpreneurship business. So you must understand the marketing. Now, it's important that you keep in mind, I'm about to take you on 20 years of marketing and sales experience condensed into this audio CD. You will have powerful tools and systems that you will be able to use to generate immediate income for your passionpreneurship business. However, at the same time, I will not be able to explain the why behind everything just because we would be short on time. But believe me, this stuff works, and it works big time. You are now about to get a $1 million lesson in how to properly market your passionpreneurship business. Now, a lot of people are afraid of marketing and sales. Really afraid of sales, but afraid of marketing and sales because sales is what they hear more of. But first, you have to understand sales and marketing are two different functions in a business. Let me explain. Here's sales. Selling is what you do once you have somebody in front of you, okay? You then sell them off your products or service. They make or don't make the investment, okay? That's selling. Marketing is what you do to get them in front of you, all right? So there's a two completely different functions in a business, and when marketing is done correctly, they are already pre-sold on you and ready to make the investment. That's the power in marketing. So if you remember one of the previous CDs, I had mentioned the idea that you want people already ready, eager to do business with you. And that's what happens when you know, when you've learned, when you've implemented and know how to market your business correctly. And we're going to share some powerful, powerful strategies with you on this audio CD. So here's the best definition I have ever heard for marketing. All right. So here it goes. Imagine the circus is coming to town. All right. The circus is coming to town. And if you put up a big billboard that says circus is coming to town, that's called advertising. However, if you take a smaller version of that billboard and put that on the side of an elephant and march the elephant through town, right? That's called promotion. However, if the elephant in the process of marching through town runs through the mayor's flower bed and destroys it, that's called publicity. If you get the mayor to laugh about it and just chuckle about it, that's called public relations. And if you planned the entire thing, that's called marketing. All right. So we're going to give you the tools and show you how to plan the entire thing. So let's get started. First, what you want to understand that what marketing genius Dan Kennedy, he's one of the top, if not the top, copywriter, direct response marketer on the planet. He calls his famous marketing triangle. And his marketing triangle is simply this: message, market, and media. All right. So let's start with the message first. Message is self-explanatory, but your message is exactly what are you saying to your audience? Exactly what are you saying to your audience? So let's use myself as an example again, real quick, because it's the easiest one to use here, and you guys are already familiar with my backstory. So the message, so once I made the transition from performer to speaker, entertainer, right? And I started to work with adoption agencies, foster care agencies, social workers, youth and foster care, and so on. My message was simple. The core message was simply this: you and I have a similar story. I figured out a few things along the way. Perhaps what I figured out can help you. And obviously this was shared to the social workers and the independent living program coordinators. So when I would go in and speak with the social workers, foster parents, they would sometimes share this message with the foster youth, or sometimes I would share that message directly. So that was the message. I'm like you. I figured out a few things. Let me share those things with you. That was the core message. And remember that. I didn't say I was better than you. I didn't say anything. I said, I'm like you. I've learned a few things, okay? So that was the message. The market was human services. All right, human services. So the human services audience, which is a massive field, but the core audience I was speaking to was social workers, all right, foster parents, youth in foster care. And obviously there's care professionals within each level that eventually gets the information to each source, depending on who I'm talking to, all right? So that was the market. And it's important there that the message is tied to the market. Also very important in this case is the market was narrow and the market was clearly defined. Very, very important. See, one of the challenges and mistakes, huge mistake that people make, and this is completely counterintuitive to what you think, but this is correct. The mistake that people make is they believe they can be all things to all people. So therefore, they market their passionpreneurship business to everyone, believing everybody needs it. Well, the world is divided into into smaller subcultures. And what you want to do, some people call them niche markets. And what you want to do is you want to find a subculture and you want to market your passionpreneurship business to that subculture. You want to do that for a number of reasons. First, it's more effective, okay? Far more effective. Second, it's in line. It's in line with assuming you're using a similar approach that I used, you could target the market more effectively, all right? And in target marketing, if you said yes, your message is for the world. Well, the odds are, I don't know your situation, but the odds are you probably don't have a big enough budget to go reach the world, okay? But you can reach a highly targeted market. In real estate, they call it farming. Okay, so most real estate agents and the ones that are really effective, they find an area of the city. They don't try to market all over the city, right? They find an area, a community, and they market and work within that community, which could still be very, very large, all right? So you don't want to go fishing in the ocean. You want to take the ocean, put the ocean into a nice size bucket, put and fill it with fish, and to the point where you could just literally just reach in and take out fish. That's how targeted you want your market to be, okay? So first we talked about message. We just talked about market and media. Okay, so exactly what is media? Media is simply your delivery system. How do you get your message to the market? Media is a delivery system, all right? So people tend to confuse media oftentimes. So let me explain media. Media can be radio. It can be a radio commercial, okay? Media can be a television commercial. Media could be newspapers, magazines. All right. Media could be online. The internet is only a media. I'm going to say that again. The internet is only a media. Now, the internet offers other things, obviously, but for marketing purposes, it's a way to deliver your message to hopefully a highly targeted audience that can invest in your new passionpreneurship business. All right. Now, like I said, the internet has other benefits, but we're looking at the internet now as a media, as a form to produce, as a way to produce commercials. You'll notice now a lot of corporations, lots of companies, lots of people are using the internet to just create infomercials, to create commercials. They throw them up on YouTube, and they're just out there. See, what's the benefit is it's out there forever. Okay, so the internet is a media. All right. Okay. So now there's two types of advertising, one of which is what most people are familiar with. Okay. And it's kind of bundled with what's called branding. All right. But it's called image advertising. Now, earlier we talked about committing image suicide, but there's two types. There's image advertising, which is usually what big corporations do. And image advertising is, they take a commercial, a billboard, whatever the case may be, and they essentially plaster a big image of their product up there, okay? So Coca-Cola, as an example, when you drive by and see a billboard for Coke or a commercial on Coke, usually there's this minor story being told for the most part, if it's a commercial. But for the most part, you see a glass of Coke with some ice in it and a Coca-Cola can sitting next to it, okay? That's image advertising. Now, that works for corporations. The reason it works for corporations is oftentimes, I mean, I say corporations, I mean major corporations, major brands that we are already familiar with, okay? The reason it works for them is because they have used what I'm going to explain to you as the second type of advertising in a second to get to a point where they could create a brand that's powerful enough that you can just see the brand and recognize it. Now, I'm not saying just because you see a thing of Coke up there, you want to go buy a Coke, right? Oftentimes you may want to, but I'm not saying you do. But a far more effective and far more powerful way of advertising is what's called direct response advertising or direct response marketing. Direct response marketing is asking your intended client, asking your would-be client for a particular response. You're asking for them to take some sort of action. You're asking for them for the sale directly. All right. The reason you don't want to do image advertising is because, again, I'm not familiar with your situation, but one, it's far less effective than direct response advertising, and it requires a huge, huge, huge budget in order to have even a minor impact. So if you start with a brand new product tomorrow, with your passionpreneur business, product or service, and you just put a billboard of it up, you know, people aren't familiar with it. There's no point of reference. There's nowhere for them to go. And that's why the image advertising wouldn't work. Now, perhaps over time and a long, long period of time, if the advertising stayed up, most people would go out of business before this would even happen. There might be a few people that would start to investigate it, right, on their own and say, oh, what is this? Maybe let me go online and figure that out, right? But the odds are very, very slim. I'm not saying it's impossible, but slim. That's why you want to use direct response advertising, because in direct response, you're asking them for exactly what you want them to do. And it's important as a passionpreneur, you want all of your marketing to be focused on direct response marketing, okay? And here's why. Again, it goes back to what I said earlier. It's far more effective, far more powerful, and easier to target a smaller niche, reach out to them through one of the medias that we mentioned earlier. The one I didn't mention was direct mail, but reach out to them through a variety of media connect with them and generate interest and move towards the sale and them investing in what you're doing. So I'm going to explain three very, very powerful marketing concepts that need to be weaved throughout all of your marketing all of the time with no questions asked. The first is what's called USP, okay? Now, a USP is a marketing term that marketers use, stands for, there's a couple different variations of it, but unique selling point, unique selling proposition. So it's basically the question that all of your would-be clients and customers are asking you silently, some up front, but silently. And they're asking you this question: why should I use you above every other option in my category? Like, why you? All right? So again, if we use magic as an example, why should I hire you as a magician as opposed to every other option in Atlanta? And that's a valid question. And switch magician for whatever your product or service is, but your clients are asking you the same question. They may not be asking it directly. Sometimes they do, but they are asking you the question. And if you do not have an effective, if you do not have a powerful answer for the question, you will lose out on a huge portion of the business. All right? Now, once you generate an effective answer for the question, a powerful answer for the question, you could literally control the market. Okay? So in my case, the answer is, well, I'm not just a magician. I'm the magician with a message that speaks to this particular audience and this particular subject because I have that same exact background and story. So now I've created an effective and powerful answer to the question. So when you're designing and creating your USP, you want to answer the question, why should they use you above every other option in your category? Now, let me explain what the USP is not. Your USP is not a slogan, right? Now, the magician with a message is technically a tagline, a slogan, right? But it's the story, which we'll talk about later, that's the USP, okay? The magician with a message just sums it up in a very simple sentence, but it's the stories. I don't sell magician with a message. I offer the story. So a lot of people, they come up with, they hear USP and they say, oh yes, okay, I figured it out. We offer great service, right? They think that's their USP. Well, it should go without saying, if you're a business of integrity and you're, you know, operating effectively and you're creating win-win situations like we suggest as passionpreneurs, you're already offering great service. Okay, that shouldn't even be a question that you even have to say it. The fact that you have to say it is actually a red flag, okay? So a USP is much deeper than that. It's not just a slogan, all right? There's lots of ways to get to it, but you must ask the question, you must answer the question that your clients are asking is, why should I do business with you above every other opportunity, above every other option that's available to me, okay? So that's one of the powerful marketing concepts that you must get down. And let me give you another example of a USP and another example that I've used and I still use to this day. And I'll tell you where I got. First, I'll explain the example, then I'll explain how I came up with a variation of it. Okay. And this is one that's been talked about over and over again through the years, but it's Domino's Pizza. Domino's Pizza built a major, major business, which was a struggling business at one point, but they built a major business with a USP that said, we will have, I'm not saying it exactly, but we will have fresh hot pizza delivered to you in 30 minutes or less, guaranteed. Okay, that USP created an entire massive empire and literally changed an industry to the point where people, like well-established pizza companies, were like chasing behind them trying to figure out what's going on here. The USP was so effective, they had to stop using it because their drivers were getting in accidents trying to get the pizza there on time. But it was part of their business long enough to establish a monster of a company, okay? So here's how I took that same concept and modeled it for my business, okay? They used the concept guaranteed. So I said to myself, what is it that my clients fear the most in using someone who uses services like mine? Okay, fear the most. Well, what they fear is, and this is for the corporate end, what they fear was you coming to their event to entertain and speak and you not being good. So the USP I came up with was, and also with some help from my friend and mentor, Joel Bauer, was standing ovations guaranteed. Okay? I come to your event, if the audience, after I speak and present at your event, if your audience isn't on their feet applauding wildly, you have the option of not paying me a single dime. That's a powerful USP. That's a powerful USP. And to this date, right, I have yet to have anybody take me up on it. And I'm not saying every single show, every single presentation is a standing ovation, but what it does is it makes the point. Okay. And it makes them comfortable doing business with you. So reversing the risk is one way of doing it. Through my Magic with a Message programs, your story is one way of doing it. We'll talk about that in a second. So you got to create a USP, a unique selling proposition, something that makes you unique as opposed to every other option that your client has. All right. The second powerful marketing concept is you want to use this in your marketing is personality. As a passionpreneur, you are a personality. Now, I'm not saying you have to be, I don't know, Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon, something, you know, the guy laughing and smiling. But personality in a business is powerful. People like to do business with people, okay? So one mistake I see lots of websites making is you go to the contact page, and there's no way to reach anybody. It's only through email. Now, some people prefer email. That's great. And they'll take that option. But a powerful way of doing it is to say something along the lines of, hey, my name is John Jensen. I'm the owner of the company. And, you know, if you want to reach out to me, here's my number direct. I mean, here's my number and you can reach me directly. You remember, I think it was Mark Cuban, the billionaire. He was doing the same thing. He took his cell phone number and plastered it on a big business card and said, call me. I want to hear from you, right? That's adding personality to your business, and it's not hiding. So you don't want to hide. You want to, you know, you want to put yourself out there. And I'm not saying you have to be put yourself out there and be the talk of the town in the sense of you're just the most outgoing person in the world. You know, I'm actually a very quiet person, not a shy person. There's a difference. There's a quiet person. I don't feel I need to be the center of attention at every given moment. I just need to be the center of attention when I'm talking about my products or services, okay? So you can't be afraid to put personality in your marketing, all right? That's one of the things that lots of major corporations lack is personality in their marketing. Some get it. Some actually get it. So if you look at GoDaddy.com, they have the GoDaddy girls. If you look at Wendy's, they have Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, who has since passed on, you know, but they've actually brought him back because he was so effective. You look at McDonald's, they had the McDonald's clown. Burger King had the Burger King clown. So that's adding personality to your business. Remember, we said we can't be afraid to commit image suicide. You can't care what people think about you. You want to do what's effective. So let me give you a couple quick stories. When I first, you know, before I figured all this stuff out, learned all this stuff and applied it to my business and have been using it in my business for some time now, when I was strictly an entertainer for corporations, I remembered, again, remembered, I said I wanted to work for a corporation. So I felt I needed to be very corporate and very exact and very precise in how I spoke, you know. So I remember I was doing lots and lots of events for this major Fortune 100 company that is based here in Atlanta. And I was doing shows for them all over the country, but they were based here in Atlanta. And I had called and left a message. I returned a call for someone who was calling me for an event, someone who'd used me for numerous events. And I won't give her last name, but her name was Pat. And she's since retired from the company. Great lady. But she gave me this wonderful tip. And it was simply this. She had called for an event. We played phone together. I called her back and left some message like, hello, Pat, this is Eric Anderson. I'm returning your call and be interested in working with you. You know, just this trying to be very corporate. I didn't know any better, right? I didn't know about personality. It just kind of very put on. And we're talking, and, you know, we finally talked and about what she needed to do. And she said, Eric, you know, we as a corporation, the whole reason that we hire you is because of personality. Because we are boring and dull up here. All we do is sit around, twiddle our fingers until we have something to do. We hire you to bring life into our business. So we don't want you to be corporate like us, because we get that every day. We want something different. That's why we're coming to you. And boy, when I say that was a major turning point for me, because I thought I had to be like them. You know, I didn't have to be like them. I had to be like me coming to them. Now, obviously, they vetted me. They understood I was, you know, credible. They understood, you know, I had a background. I had a background story. They understood all of that stuff. That's why they were using me. They were comfortable with me. So you can't be afraid to put personality in your business, okay? And the best personality is you. If it's not you, it's somebody. There's different ways of doing it. So, I don't have him now, but I had a dog at the time named Max. So that was one way of adding personality to my newsletter, the hard copy newsletter that would go out to all of my clients, is I would talk about my dog Max in the newsletter. So now it became personal, okay? So when I talk about, if you go to my main website, I tell my whole story, growing up in foster care. If you go to the About Eric page, I talk about my kids. I share the whole story. That's personality, okay? That's what people are buying. You don't have to be this outgoing, outrageous person. That's not what I'm talking about. But giving people a little bit about yourself, okay? And I'll talk about that with the third marketing concept in a second. But I want to tell you a story that recently happened to me. And this is right now the best personality I've seen in a corporation so far. I won't mention where it was at because it was so good. I'll just share the story, then I'll keep going. So I was going to a place to go have a breakfast, a place that serves pancakes. We'll leave it at that. Okay. It was early in the morning, before 7. It was right around 6:58, 6:55, whatever. I walk into the place. It's a It was a Monday morning. So I realized I was the only one in the place. So I'm kind of waiting for the hostess to come and see me. So she comes and she says, now this is her talking, and I'm talking as best I could as she was talking to me. So she sees me and she says, "Hey brother, welcome to IHOP." I said, "Yeah, thanks. Good morning." She says, "Brother, you really have a good meal?" I said, "Yeah." So she says, "Brother, I'm gonna walk you to your seat." So she walks me to my seat. And she says, "Brother, would you happen to know what you want to eat or drink?" I'm sorry. She said, "Brother, would you happen to know what you like to drink at this time?" I said, "Not yet." She said, "Well, would you like some gangster sweet tea?" I said, "Now," and again, let me point out, this is an IHOP I've never been to before, okay? Or I should say place that serves pancakes I've never been to. Okay, so she says, "Would you like some gangster sweet tea?" And she said, "Gangster sweet tea." I said, "Now, I've got no point of reference here, right? None. I have no idea what gangster sweet tea is." So I asked a question. I said, "I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. What is gangster sweet tea?" She says, "Sweet tea that's made with a lot of love and a lot of sugar," right? So I'm thinking, okay, that's just Southern tea. Okay, but she called it gangster sweet tea. I said, "No, I'm fine. I will actually have some orange juice." Okay. She says, "Well, brother, now do you know what you want to eat already?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to take some hash browns with everything and a couple of pancakes." She said, "Would you like one or two pancakes?" I said, "I'll take two." She says, "Here, we serve our pancakes three ways, okay? You could have your pancakes thin and light, like Halle Berry, brown and thick, like Beyonce, or extra thick and dark, like Whoopi Goldberg. Brother, how would you like your pancakes?" I said, "I want my pancakes like Beyonce." And she says, brother, we'll have those pancakes out to you in a minute. We'll get on it, doggone it. And she leaves. Now, right now, she's not 4 feet away from me. I'm already sending a text message telling people, you got to come to this IHOP. This is great. So that's personality in a business. Now, she comes back and she hands me the hash browns. She says, brother, here's your hash browns and here's your two Beyonce pancakes. I hope you enjoy them. And when I tell you this was fantastic marketing, this was absolutely great. I told, before noon, I'd already told 10 people about the experience, and I'm taking two or three people there already to make sure, I'm gonna make sure she's there. Take two or three people there just to go through the experience because it was an experience. She was having fun with her job. She added personality to what she was doing. And it made me talk about it. Now, when's the last time you talked about an experience at a pancake house? I would bet zero, all right? I mean, and it went beyond. Remember, it went beyond just the pancakes. She created an experience. She added personality to it. Now, this was so good, right? Like when you add personality like that to a business, it could be so effective. It could scare the brass. It could scare the corporate brass. Now, I'm not sure if they're familiar with what she's doing or not. I have no idea. But trust me on this, they would be stupid to let her go. Matter of fact, it would be smart of them to train everybody at that particular IHOP to do the same thing. Now, I'm not saying that's going to work everywhere, but it worked and will work in this particular area. Know your audience. And that's exactly what she was doing. She was having fun. At her job, she added personality to her business, and it was absolutely fantastic. I walked in there by accident, just because I happened to walk by, I happened to drive by, and they automatically, as long as she's there, have a customer for life, and wherever she goes, I will follow her. I will go back to that IHOP here the next few days, find out when she's working. Again, not IHOP, but a pancake place. I'll find out when she's working, and I will bring people there for the experience. It was outstanding. Okay, so that's an example of putting personality into your marketing, okay? So the first one is creating a USP. The second is personality. And the third is storytelling, okay? You want to market yourself through storytelling. Storytelling is amazingly powerful, all right? Me, I just explained a story to you about, you know, about my experience at this pancake house. And I've already, I told people, I've probably told 15 people so far, and it happened a couple days ago, okay? And a friend of mine, she was already posting the experience on Facebook. I will talk about the experience in my marketing newsletter, and I am in the studio, totally unplanned, sharing the experience with you now. That's how powerful it is, okay? So storytelling is another powerful, powerful marketing concept that you want to use in your marketing. The reason it's so powerful is we were read and stories were shared to us from day one, you know, since we were little kids, and it's a powerful way to get a message across. And everyone loves a great story. That's why movies are so powerful. Great stories are long-lasting, they're powerful, and they're timeless. And it's something people are already familiar with. So you want to use storytelling in your marketing. All right. So you want to create your passionpreneur story. Now, you heard my passionpreneur story, how I fell in love with Art of Magic as a little kid, going through some challenges, because of abuse, was put in foster care, lived in foster homes and group homes till I was 18 years old. But the one thing that turned my life around was practicing the art of magic, for 8 hours a day. You know, it was insane. It was ridiculous. And from there, I started doing shows. And then a friend of mine said, Eric, you should share your history about foster care with your audiences. And long story short, I'm now the magician with a message. And that story has taken me all over the world and made a ton of money while at the same time benefiting other people. So you want to come up with your passionpreneur story. You want to sit down and write your story, how you got started, what inspired you, what moved you to do what you do, how you benefit other people, okay? And remember to use personality in your storytelling. You don't want to be too corporate, okay? In air quotes, you don't want to be too corporate. That's very, very important. You want to be a personality, all right? And don't be afraid to share your personality. Those that are most effective, I mean, are personable with people. Remember, people do business with personalities. They don't do business with businesses, okay? In the end, they're doing business with individuals, okay? And when you can connect, it's very important. If they connect with you, they will invest in you. Let me say that again. If they can connect with you, they will invest in you. Your story, okay, now once you write your Passionpreneur story out, it's very important that you write it out because we're going to repurpose it through all of your marketing, all right? So the three powerful concepts we're working with right now are your USP, what separates you from everybody else, personality in your marketing, and storytelling, all right? So you want to sit down and you want to write out your Passionpreneur story, how you got started, how you benefit people, and so on. What inspired you to do this? You want to write it out in a form of a story. You want to tell a story. Okay. So the second thing you're going to need is a lead generation magnet. Okay. Now, what is a lead generation magnet? Well, one of the mistakes that a lot of people make in marketing their businesses, and especially marketing their Passionpreneurship business, is they try to make a one step sell. They just try to say, hey, look, here's what I have to offer. Either you buy it or you don't buy it. Well, most people don't buy things that way. Most things that are brought to people's attention are kind of brought to their attention spur of the moment. And if there's an interest in it, they slowly move towards investing in the product or service. So you don't want to present your, now some people invest immediately, that's fine. And we want to create a path for those people as well. But you also want to create a path for the people that don't invest immediately. So you want to create a lead generation magnet. And a lead generation magnet is just a simple way to allow someone to say, to raise their hand and say, hey, look, I'm interested in what you have. I don't necessarily want to get it right now, but I'm interested in what you have. Would you please tell me more? So a lead generation magnet is something that you give away to your would-be clients or soon-to-be clients, okay? There's lots of different examples. There are CDs, okay? A lead generation magnet could be a speech, depending on how you invested in this particular program, right? You either saw me speak on stage, you perhaps listen to one of the Passionpreneur interviews. That's a lead generation magnet. Getting somebody interested in what you have to offer, allowing you to over time make the sale to them, allowing them to invest in you. So you could use it. You could do it through a speech. You could do it through audio interviews. You could create CDs. You could do it through books. You could give a free consultation. You could give a free service. Like, here's a lead generation magnet that every single person has probably experienced but may not consider a lead generation magnet. So you're walking through the mall and the food court. And in the food court, what are they doing? They're giving you free samples. Okay, and you get a free sample, and you two or three free samples in, you're like, okay, I'm ready to eat. And you go back to the one that you like the most, and you buy lunch. Now, you already were interested in buying lunch. More than likely, that's why you were in the food court. But at the same time, they piqued your interest by giving you a free sample. So you can't be afraid to give away a free sample. So you want to create lead generation magnets for your business. And remember, you want to look at it as a free sample. So when I was street performing, and I talked about this earlier, when I was street performing, that was a lead generation magnet. The whole purpose was to find people that were, it was fishing. It was me going fishing. It was to find people that liked what I did, would ask for business cards, and I would actually tell people, ask for business cards if you're interested in what I'm doing. And it was a lead generation magnet. And just simply from that, I built a huge business. My whole business started with that, right? It was used as a lead generation magnet. So you want to create a lead generation magnet for your business, okay? Here's one of the most basic marketing tools that you should have and it's very basic, and a lot of people try to get around it nowadays, but it's still one of the most powerful things you could do, is it's simply a basic business card. Now, I say basic business card because the way most people do business cards, they're just not good business cards. There's ways to improve business cards. One of which is you could have a business card that's an odd size, so it stands out a little bit, right? So the worst thing you could do is fit in. Now, if you have a business card that fits in with every other card, I mean, when I say fit in, meaning same size, same dimension as every other card in the group, it doesn't stand out. So one way of standing out with a business card is to have a business card that's a different size. Not necessary, but that's one way of standing out. But there's seven things that you need on a business card to have a really effective business card, okay? One, some people are opposed to this, but remember we talked about personality? Well, one thing you can put on your business card that's very, very effective is a picture, and a picture of you. Because remember, people do business with people, not with businesses. And since most people don't have a picture of themselves on their business card, right, you all of a sudden stand out. It's not an ego thing. It's nothing like that. It's stand out. And people always remember, like, you'll never hear somebody come up and say, "Wow, I know your name. I just don't recognize your face." Okay? You'll never hear somebody say that. They always say something along the lines of, "God, I recognize your face. I just don't know your name." Okay? So you want to have a picture of you on your business card. Now, depending on the product or service, maybe a picture of the product, but more effective to have a picture of you. All right. You want to have a rave review or some sort of credibility builder. So here's what I mean by a rave review. A rave review could be a testimonial of some sort on your business card. You could have a testimonial of some sort, all right? I use a credibility builder. So since I've been on a number of TV shows, I have on my business card as seen on CNN, Fox, NBC, and ABC, whatever it says on there, okay? That's a credibility builder. That establishes you as an authority, a credibility builder, okay? Obviously, you want to have your name. I say obviously because I've seen people without it, okay? You want to have your USP. Now, when I say your USP, this is when it's okay to take your USP and turn it into a slogan. So in my case, the magician with a message, okay? That's on my primary business card. On another version of it, it says America's number one illusionist and motivational speaker for the human services industry. Okay, so you want to have your slogan or a better way of calling it, as I call it, your claim your crown statement. Okay, claim your crown. And I'm saying crown like king or queen statement. Something that connects you with your audience, let your audience know that you are an established authority in your field. Because again, people like to do business with authorities and experts. So there's nothing wrong with calling yourself the leading expert in X, whatever your passionpreneur business happens to be, okay? So that's where you put your slogan or your USP statement. Obviously, you want your contact information, more the better. And you want to have website on there. I always think website is important because you can send them to your website to give them more information, okay? Obviously, a business card is of limited size, so you can't put a ton of information on there, but you can send them someplace where they can get more information. So you could do that through a website. You could also do that through a free recorded message, which is basically a voicemail on steroids that can give your clients more information about your business. But you could also do that through a website. But most importantly, you want to offer them a free gift. So remember, we talked about a lead generation magnet. Well, you could have your lead generation magnet on your business card, right? So now they call, they email, whatever the case is, to get the lead generation magnet. They have just raised their hand and said, "Hey, I'm interested in what you have to offer." So a business card could be a powerful, powerful marketing tool, but you got to have these seven things included in it to make it extremely powerful. I got a call for a speaking engagement from a gentleman that had seen me 7 years earlier, and we had a very brief conversation on a street in the middle of Germany someplace. And he was actually from the States, but we actually happened to meet in Germany. He got my card, 7 years later, called me, right? Which also brings to a very important point, is I'm always surprised at how often people have changed their contact information. Okay. He was able to reach me because my contact information has been the same since the day I officially turned this into a business. I've had the same contact number for 20 plus years. All right. Now I've had different, I have other numbers and stuff, but my main one, the one most people reach me on, has been the same for 20 plus years. So, so a great business card is offer a picture of you, credibility builder, some sort of testimony or rave review, your slogan or USP, your claim your crown statement, your name, obviously, contact information, website, and your lead generation magnet, which means you might want to use the back of the business card. You want to look at the business card as real estate. And the more of it you use, the better. All right. So another marketing, we're off business cards right now, but you also want to have rave reviews. Now, if you're new to your passionpreneurship business, you may not have a whole lot of rave reviews yet. So you might want to go to family and friends, those same people that said, hey, you might want to turn this into a business, and get rave reviews from these people, okay? There's lots of different ways you could use rave reviews. Video is the most powerful because there's so many different ways you can use it. So once you have video, you could turn video into audio, right? You could just, there's programs that would allow you to just capture the audio from it. You could take the video, transcribe that. Now you could use it in print, and obviously you could use it as a video. So video is very powerful, but you want to get testimonial letters, all right? You want to, if you have any pictures with celebrities or famous people, that's also great because it's success by association. So when I spoke and performed at the President Barack Obama's inauguration, that was success by association. The fact that I was at an event or at least invited to it, that makes me successful because I was invited to the event. Okay. It's all perception. Another one is I performed for President Jimmy Carter at the Governor's Mansion here in Atlanta, and I got a nice picture of myself with him and the governor. Success by association, okay? Once you have rave reviews, you want to use them on everything. You want to use them on your business cards. You want to use them on your websites, all your print media, everything. You want to use it in everything. I actually have a rave review hotline that I have clients call. That is a little number on the back of the business card that says, call and listen to what people are saying about Eric. You could also do this on a website, or you could actually just put the rave reviews on the website in the form of audio. So lots of different ways to use rave reviews. You don't want to be afraid to use direct mail. What's old is new. People think direct mail is old and outdated, and it's not. Direct mail is one of the most powerful ways to reach out and communicate with your would-be prospects. The problem with email is powerful, but the problem with email is it goes back to shelf life. There's no shelf life. An email may stay in somebody's inbox, but as soon as they go to the next email, if they didn't take action on whatever you asked them to do right there at that particular moment in email, you've lost them. The chances of them coming back is very, very slim. They may, but the chances are very, very slim. So you can't be afraid to use email. The reason everyone wants to use direct mail, the reason everybody wants to use email because it's free, but you can't be afraid to spend a little bit of money. Okay, so direct mail is very, very powerful, but you have to do it correctly. Now, remember we talked about personality, right? You don't want to use plain brand, direct mail. You want to add personality to it. You want to ask them to take action. There's things you want to do in your direct mail. You don't want to use letterheads. You don't want to use envelopes that have your company logo all over it. All right. You also don't want letterhead with that because it telegraphs to your soon-to-be client that this is some sort of sales pitch. But you can sneak up on them in a powerful and win-win way by telling your story in direct mail, okay? So the other thing with direct mail, and again, I'm kind of going through this kind of quickly, but I don't want you to do some more research on this, but I don't want you, and you could definitely take advantage of your marketing consultation, and I could go into more detail with you about the power of direct mail, but it's absolutely insane with how powerful it is in generating business. So you wanna look at it in terms of duplicating yourself. So you want to look at direct mail as a form of duplication, where you're now duplicating yourself and putting yourself out in the marketplace, all right? You also want to do that. So that's direct mail. You also want to have a website. It seems obvious nowadays, but I'm still surprised how many people don't have websites. Now, there's ways around it. If you want to have an exclusive service where they can't find you online, so there's ways to do that and do that very effectively. But a website is very, very powerful. And again, it's a way to duplicate yourself without you having to trade time for dollars. So once it's up and going, it's out there forever, okay? So this goes back to what I said earlier. You need to create your passionpreneur story, because now you take your passionpreneur story, and I said you repurpose it through all of your materials, through your direct mail, through your website. There's four types of websites. There's a brochure site, right, which looks like a brochure just slapped up on the web. There's a copy and intent site, which is looks like direct mail, looks like a sales letter of some sort. And this is actually online. They also do this the same format in video, okay, where you take the video. Again, you're repurposing your story. Perhaps you're telling your story on video and putting that online. There's a landing page site, which is simply just a way to capture people's information and leading them to something else, okay? It could be your lead generation magnet and so on, something you're giving away, but you're capturing information. And a catalog site, which is exactly what it says. It's a catalog of a variety of different items, okay? Depending on what kind of passionpreneur business you set up will depend on what type of site you have. Now, eventually, you'll want more than one website. I have multiple websites that are all up and running online, and I look at them as little breadcrumbs out in the world that bring people back to me. Some are brochure sites, some are lead generation sites, some are video sites, landing page sites, and so on, okay? But you want to repurpose your material. You want to get your material out there in a variety of different ways. The other marketing strategy I love to use is publicity. The reason I love to use publicity because it's so easy to get. When I say publicity, I've used online publicity, offline publicity, but I love television, radio, and print media, okay? Because one, you could take the publicity, you could repurpose it and use it in all of your marketing, and it automatically creates credibility for you, because it says an organization, right, usually probably much larger than yourself, is saying something nice about you, and hopefully saying something nice about you, and you can use all of that material in all of your future marketing. So you don't want to be afraid of publicity. And again, I won't go into it a ton of it, but one of your bonus audio CDs in this particular program is a bonus on getting publicity. I interview Jane Stewart. She's known as the Publicity Hound, and she's a master at getting publicity. She gives you some powerful strategies. It's, I think, about a 60-minute interview I did with her, and she gives you actionable items you can use to use publicity in your business right now, okay? Another very powerful form of marketing is book marketing. I just call it book marketing, and to have a book is one of the most powerful things you could do. It is a insanely, wickedly powerful lead generation magnet to give away a free book. And it makes you the ultimate expert, because experts have books. Okay, so you don't want to be afraid to write a book on your particular topic. Now, a book doesn't need to be 10,000 pages, 300 pages, 500 pages. A book could be 60 pages. Okay, but in the book, you're sharing information about your product or service. You're giving valuable information that people could use and benefit from. So you definitely want to have a book as part of your marketing. And and one of your bonus CDs I provided in this system is teaching you how to write your book in 30 days or less. So you definitely want to listen to that CD and go through the actions, the action items, and you will be off and running and be able to take advantage of book marketing for your passionpreneurship business. And again, one of my favorites is speaking to an audience as a form of marketing. Now, unlike the other ones I just mentioned, it doesn't necessarily allow me, I'm still trading time for dollars, but it's so, so powerful. You could generate so much business, and you could talk to, instead of one-to-one, you could talk to one-to-many. I prefer to talk to one-to-many. I do some one-on-one, but I prefer and do mostly one-to-many, using speaking my speaking presentations as a media to generate and create business. Again, depending on how you've invested in this program, you either saw me speaking on stage, perhaps you saw me interviewing somebody online or referred by a third party. Using your speaking as a form of marketing is wickedly, wickedly powerful, okay? So those are some very powerful marketing ideas you could use in your passionpreneurship business, okay? But I want to make sure that you take advantage of the marketing consulting certificate that came with this course, all right? Please take advantage of that because I give you, I believe it was 75 minutes of one-on-one time with me, and we could go into some of this stuff if you have any questions with a little more detail. It's hard to explain all the why on the audio CD, but you have a good foundation that if used and applied, even if you never take advantage of the call, that you could use and profit from, okay? But I definitely want you to take advantage of your marketing consulting certificate and just follow the information on the certificate. We'll have the call set up for you and we'll benefit you in major ways. So please follow the instructions on this particular audio CD and create your USP, create your passionpreneurship story. Listen to the bonus audio CD, get your book written, okay? And you will be off to the races. And believe it or not, everything you just learned right now about marketing, if you apply and use, you now know more about how to properly market a business than, ad executives at major corporations and so on, okay? You know a lot about how to properly market a business. Remember, you want to focus your energies on direct response marketing and not image advertising and branding. Direct response marketing creates branding as a byproduct. But there's lots of powerful ways of using it. So you want to focus all your attention on direct response marketing. All right. So again, take advantage of everything you just learned in this audio CD. Write your passionpreneurship story. Create your USP. Create your lead generation magic magnet. Write your book. And you are now the ultimate passionpreneur. All right. So listen to those audio CDs. Take advantage of the consulting certificate. And I hope to see you at the live Plug Into Your Passion live event. Make sure you come up and say hello. I really trust and hope you've taken action on this item. It's powerful on this information shared on these CDs. It's powerful information, and it's life-changing information. It completely changed my life. I don't come from a fancy background, never met my parents, I've never gone to a college or higher education, anything like that. And it's allowed me to create my dream life, provide for my my two amazing children in amazing ways, and live the lifestyle I want to live on my own terms with very little listening to other people. I do follow the rule of flexibility, but I design and live my life the way I want to do it. And I want you to be able to do the same thing through your own passionpreneurship business. So you are now the ultimate passionpreneur. Take action on these items. Thanks for listening to the system. Make sure you listen to your bonus audio CDs, and I will see you at a live event. Thank you.